Bibles tonight to the book of Jonah, Jonah chapter number 4. We're in the last chapter as we have been spending our time working our way through the story of a man by the name of Jonah. Spent some time in a whale's belly. God had to get his attention. You know what? There's times God has to put us in some places to get our attention, doesn't he? We find that Jonah was, made an amphibious landing as that backslidden preacher gave that whale a soured stomach, and he spit him out on the shore, and he went and did what God called him to do. When you find him in chapter number 4, he's not a happy fella. Matter of fact, you pick up in chapter 4, verse 1, as you're turning there, I do want to mention that Jessica Gunther's mother, Jennifer Goff, the neurologist, came in after all the ER doctors. They told her she'd had a stroke, all of that. Good news is, neurologist said she hadn't had a stroke, she has Bell's palsy. Now, that's not a good news, but it's a better news than having a stroke, right? And so we're thankful. I think she's already out of the hospital, and so we're thankful for that. Jonah chapter 4 tonight, verse number 1, the Bible said, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry. And he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before thee into Tarshish." Remember, God said, "Jonah, I want you to go to Nineveh. I want you to preach. I want you to let them know that in 40 days I'm going to overthrow Nineveh. I'm going to bring my judgment upon that city." And Jonah, who was a patriotic Jew, he hated the Ninevites. God said go. Jonah said no. He started going in the opposite direction. You remember there was a whale, a great fish, trolling that boat. The storm came. They throw Jonah overboard. He enters the whale's belly. It swallows him up, keeps him from drowning. And 3 days and three nights, he's in that whale's belly, has a prayer meeting, gets right with God. Aren't you glad you can get right with God in a whale's belly? Mentioned that gets the fish gets the soured stomach, spits him out, vomits him out. You know, just you say, "Preacher, that's gross." I'd say for Jonah, it was pretty gross. I mean, there he is, all washed out with acid and seaweed and smell. You can just imagine. You say, "Preacher, that's disgusting." You're exactly right. By the way, that's what happens when we get away from God. Things can get disgusting in our life. Isn't that right? And Jonah finds himself, he gets right with God, and God said a second time, "Go to Nineveh." Aren't you glad God's the God of the second chance? Aren't you glad that failure isn't final in the Christian life? And Jonah gets on his way to Nineveh, chapter number 3, preaches an 8-word message, and an entire city in one day gets right with God. I mean, everybody from the king down to the most common, poorest individual in the city, the entire city gets right with God. An entire awakening. Can you imagine what that must have been like? And now Jonah's mad at God. He's mad at God. He wants the Ninevites destroyed, not saved. And he's upset. And he's lashing out at the Lord. And he said, "That's why I ran to Tarshish. God, I know you, God." Look what he said in the middle part of verse 2. "For I knew that thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil." You know, some people have a wrong view of God. They think God's in heaven ready to zap people. And that's really not the truth. God doesn't want to zap people. God doesn't want to judge. He wants to save. That's what He wants to do. He doesn't want people to face His wrath. He wants them to know His grace. That's God. He's slow to anger. He's long-suffering. Aren't you glad God's long-suffering? Notice, "and repentest thee of the evil." Talking about the judgment. Not that God would do evil. Talking about the judgment that would come upon these people if they fail to repent. Verse 3. "Therefore now, O Lord, take, I beseech thee, my life from me. For it is better for me to die than to live." Jonah said, "Now that you've saved the Ninevites, the enemies of my country, it's better for me to just go ahead and die, God." Look at verse 4. "Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry?" Jonah, do you think you have a right to be angry? You know, Jonah doesn't even answer the Lord. Verse 5, "So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city." I mean, he stomps out of the city. He's burning red, mad, red-faced. He plops down on the city, on a hillside, overlooking the city, hoping somehow, some way, that God would judge them rather than save them. You know what? I'm afraid there's some Christians that'd rather God judge people than save people. Isn't that sad? And he made a booth. The Bible said there made him a booth, a shelter, and sat under it in the shadow, the shade, till he might see what would become of the city. And the Lord God prepared a gourd. Now, this isn't a gourd as you would think. This is a large, leafy plant. As a matter of fact, God's going to make it grow. You talk about miracle growth. This plant came up in overnight, 24-hour period, covered the entire shelter and shaded Jonah there in the heat of the sun. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, a large leafy plant, and made it to come up over Jonah that it might be a shadow, a shade over his head to deliver him from his grief, from his misery. Here's this hard-hearted, stubborn, prejudiced, mean-spirited, bad attitude preacher, and God said, I'm gonna give you some shade to help you from your misery. I'm gonna tell you, God's good even when we're bad, isn't He? So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. He's happy that God gave him that shady plant. Verse 7, but God prepared a worm, because God's gonna educate him. When the morning rose the next day and it smote the gourd, that means that it struck it. It cut it off at the roots so that the gourd, that large leafy plant, that it withered. His shade was gone. You know, it withered as quickly as it grew. Verse 8, and it came to pass when the sun did arise that God prepared a behemoth. Not just an east wind, but a behemoth east wind. It's like a blow dryer blowing right on you on high heat. East wind, and the sun beat upon the head of Jonah. He's in the area we understand today as Mosul in the modern day Iraq. And it gets there sometimes 112 degrees. And he fainted and wished in himself to die. And said, it's better for me to die than to live. Just feeling sorry for himself, isn't he? I believe Jonah had an Eeyore complex. What about you? And God said to Jonah, dost thou well to be angry for the gourd, the large leafy plant? And he said, I do well to be angry, even unto death. Boy, he had this thing about dying, didn't he? Then said the Lord, thou hast had pity on the gourd, for the which thou hast not labored. You didn't have anything to do with it, Jonah. I made that. Neither madest it to grow, which came up in a night and perished in a night. And should not I spare Nineveh, that great city, where no more than 60,000 persons, 120,000 people that cannot discern between their right hand and their left hand, and also much cattle. What he's saying is that here's 120,000 children, babes, that don't even know their right hand from their left hand. And should not I spare them? Did you notice that verse number 11, the book of Jonah ends with a question mark. We really don't know how Jonah responded, do we? We don't know. We're not really told. Now, I'm going to tell you what I believe a little bit later on in the message, if we get there tonight. We're going to preach quick. May have to cut it off and slice it off like loaf bread, because we got some other things to do tonight with a baptism. But I just want to share some thoughts. Jonah is what I would call an angry Christian. He is. God never varnishes over the sins of the saints. He never glosses over them. No, whenever we read about the men and women of the Bible, God paints their portrait, warts and all. We see them for who they really are, don't we? And can I tell you, God loved them, warts and all, and I got good news for us tonight. He loves us, warts and all. Isn't that a blessing? God was still working on Jonah, and He's still working on you and me tonight. Isn't it interesting? An 8-word message, and he conquered Nineveh. 8-word message. Jonah, 40 days, and Nineveh shall be overthrown. God's going to bring judgment. 8-word message. An entire city gets right with God. But a stubborn, self-willed, hard-hearted preacher, a prophet, was a different matter. But you know what? God never gave up on Jonah, and I got good news for you tonight. God will never give up on you, and God will never give up on me. Isn't that a blessing? He was an angry man. Let me talk to you first of all about the cause of his anger tonight. You see, we're in danger of becoming an angry Christian when we're more concerned with our way than we are God's way. Can I just hit the high spot here real quickly, because we already mentioned this. Look over, if you would, again, verse number 2. And notice, he said in verse number 2, and he prayed unto the Lord and said, I pray thee, O Lord, was not this my saying? He really didn't care what God had to say. He was more interested in what he had to say. Can I tell you, we're in danger of not being right with God when we're more interested in what we have to say than what God has to say to us. You see, Jonah was at war with himself. He was at war with everybody around him. He was an angry man because ultimately he was at war with God. He was resisting what God wanted to do in his life. And I'm here to tell you tonight, there will not be peace in your life and in my life as long as we remain at war with God in our own hearts. Jonah was more concerned with his way than he was God's way. You're in danger of becoming an angry Christian when you're more concerned with your reputation than God's glory. Verse number 3, after God brought great victory and an entire city is saved and they get right with God and they repent. Here Jonah said, God, it's better for me to die than to live. He said, God, I can't imagine me having to go back to Israel and tell them what you've done. I mean, they'll hate me. They'll be so mad at what's happened, God, and I can't imagine how they're going to treat me when I go back to my country. He said, God, I'd rather die than go back to Israel. You know what it was? He was more concerned about what people thought of him than what God thought of him. He was more concerned with his reputation than God's glory. You know why some people will never come to Jesus are more concerned what people will think than what God wants to do in their life. There's some Christians that will never get right with God because they're more concerned with what people will think. There's some Christians that will never surrender to God because they're more concerned what people will think about them than their lives really truly selling out to the Lord. Did you know that? More concerns on reputation than God's glory. Let me give you one more real quickly, just a high spot here. We're in danger of becoming an angry Christian. We're more concerned with our comfort than God's cause. Can I remind you to look over in verse number 6, last sentence? So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. Do you realize that Jonah was as glad for the gourd as he was mad at God over what he did in Nineveh, in the city of Nineveh, and them getting right. Isn't it amazing how we can get so caught up with our own comfort, our own convenience, our own stuff, everything about us, rather than what God wants to do in and through our lives? Folks, can I tell you, the greatest thing you and I will ever do is let God work in us and through us by His Spirit and for His glory. Amen? Not only is there a cause of anger, I want you to tell you, number two, there's a cost that comes with His anger. Can I help us understand tonight, uncontrolled anger always has a price. Let me give you a verse. Jot down James chapter 1 and verse number 20. The Bible said, "For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God." Here's what God's saying. That when I give vent to my anger, when I give way to my anger, it defeats God's purposes and what He wants to do in my life. Do you realize that through anger we can thwart, we can stop, we can hinder God's working in our lives. We defeat what He wants to do in us and through us. I'm reminded of a woman that came to the great evangelist Billy Sunday, and she said, "Mr. Sunday," she said, "my temper's like a shotgun." She said, "I just blow up and then it's over." Mr. Sunday replied, "Madam, so does a shotgun, but look at the damage it leaves behind." I'm just here to say tonight that anger always comes at a price. Anger allowed to germinate in our hearts and in our lives yields its bitter fruit. It always has an unwanted cost. Let me show you what it cost Jonah. Are you ready? And I believe what it'll cost us tonight. First of all, it destroys our peace. It'll destroy our peace. Look at verse number 1 again. "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly." Verse 10 of the last chapter tells me that God relented. He held back from bringing judgment upon the Ninevites because they responded to Him. By the way, I'm glad there was a night that I avoided the wrath of God in my own life when I came to know Jesus Christ as Savior. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you glad anybody and everybody can be saved tonight? And we find that God saved and He spared the Ninevites, and Jonah's upset. Verse 1 of chapter 4, "But it displeased Jonah exceedingly, and he was very angry." I mean, he's upset with God. He's torn out of frame. He's burning with anger because through the preaching of Jonah, God had brought a spiritual awakening to the city of Nineveh. Remember back over in chapter 3, verse 5, where the Bible says, "So the people of Nineveh believed God." Here's a bunch of pagans. They had worshipped idols all of their life. They were a vicious, violent people. And he preached the preaching that God had bid him, Jonah did. And you know what? They turned to God. And judgment was averted. And no doubt here's an entire city that's rejoicing in the mercy and the long-suffering and the goodness and the graciousness of God. Hey, watch this. Here's an entire city that they're praising God that their sins are gone. I don't know about you, but I'm glad my sins are gone, aren't you? And here's an entire city doing that. They're excited. And Jonah, like the elder brother in Luke 15, when his prodigal brother came home and they killed the fatted calf and they threw a party, you know what I'm talking about? And the elder brother's outside, on the outside looking in. Here's Jonah on the hillside. Instead of rejoicing, he's fuming. Instead of being glad, he's mad. He's on the outside looking in. He's fuming over what God had done. The seed of anger had germinated in the heart of Jonah and the bitter fruit had come out in his life. You know what? If we're not careful, we, like Jonah, can become angry Christians. And anger will yield its bitter fruit. And we'll find other people rejoicing in the goodness of God. And we'll be standing on the outside looking in. I don't know about you, I sure don't want the Jonah and the elder brother syndrome. Do you? You remember the elder brother's on the outside and his father comes out to him and he showers love upon him and you know what? He leaves him there. There's far too many Christians living their lives on the outside looking in and not rejoicing in what God's doing because of the bitter fruit of anger that's in their heart. Let me give you a verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. Can I tell you, bitterness just won't defile you. It'll defile everybody around you. Anger has a way of crowding out God's love and joy and peace in our lives. I just want to say this. A grumpy Christian is no commendation for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you something. When you let anger vent in your life, it'll destroy the peace in your heart. Number two, I want you to get it real quickly. Not only it'll destroy our peace, it'll divide our partnerships. You know what? In chapter 3, Jonah's working with God. I mean, there's a divine partnership going on. God's used Jonah and the preaching of Jonah as he preached the message that God gave him to single-handedly bring about this great move of God, the greatest move of God in human history. You know, there's no greater joy and blessing in life than to be used by God. Did you know that? God doesn't have to use us, but I'm sure glad that He does. Aren't you? And there's nothing that you or I do for God that's insignificant. You say, preacher, I don't do any big things for God. I just want to remind you, you do anything for God. You do anything for God. Like Nehemiah, you can say, I am doing a great work. Isn't that a blessing? Because anything we do for God is a great work. Jonah's working with God. When you come to chapter 4, you know what Jonah's doing? He's working against God. You know when we let anger rule in our lives as Christians, instead of working with God, we'll work against God. We'll defeat what God not only wants to do in us, but what God wants to do with others around us. The seed of anger has a way of poisoning others around us as we allow bitterness to grow in our lives. And the partnership was gone. God's no longer working through Jonah. Now He's having to work on Jonah. And when you and I, when we give vent to anger in our lives, listen, it divides partnerships. By the way, God, instead of working through us, now He's got to work on us. Isn't that right? Sometimes it might involve a fish. Now, I'm not talking about literal fish. But Jonah spent some time in a whale's belly. He was facing the chastening of God. And I'm just here to tell you, there's some Christians, you might have to spend a little bit of time in a whale's belly if you don't get some things right with the Lord. Isn't that right? You see what I'm saying? It'll divide our partnership instead of working with God or working against Him. By the way, it'll divide the partnership you have in your marriage. Uncontrolled anger can divide a marriage relationship. Uncontrolled anger can divide a family as parents or angry children are angry at their parents. Oh, they become bitter because mom or dad didn't let them have their way or do what they wanted to do, and suddenly they're angry. By the way, I always told my kids, if you slam your bedroom door, I'll take it off the hinges. You say, preacher, I can't believe you. I own the door. Well, it's their room. No, they've never paid the bill. It is my room. By the way, you're going to have to decide whether you're going to run your home or your kids are going to run your home. You have to make a decision. It'll divide friends. Their friends at one time were close, and then anger. They became angry, and it divided a partnership. Churches have divided because church members became angry at one another. Isn't that sad? Isn't it sad when God's people lose a testimony in the community because they can't get along? How good and how pleasant it is when for brethren to dwell together in unity. One of the worst testimonies that a church can have is that it's an angry church filled with angry Christians that can't get along with themselves. Isn't that a sad thing? God can't work in a situation like that. God can't work in a circumstance like that. Oh, listen, if you allow the seed of anger to yield its bitter fruit, it'll distance us from life's most important people and rob us of life's most important relationships. You see, anger has a price. It'll destroy our peace. It'll divide our partnerships. It'll divert our purpose. Look at verse number 5. Then said the Lord, doest thou well to be angry? So Jonah went out of the city and said, he didn't respond to God. He's a man. He didn't answer the Lord. Can you imagine that? So Jonah went out of the city and sat on the east side of the city. Jonah's angry. If there was ever a time Jonah needed to be in the city of Nineveh, it was right then. God had moved in a magnificent way. Tens of thousands of people had come to faith in God. They'd been saved. They needed Jonah, a preacher, to teach them and love them and guide them and help them to grow in their new faith that they had had in the living God. Hey, for generations they had worshipped dead gods and they had worshipped false gods, and now they had turned to the living God and they needed a prophet of God to teach them how to walk with God and know Him. And Jonah was so mad and so angry that God couldn't use. Oh, when Nineveh needed Jonah, Jonah was outside the city full of anger. He, in a fit of rage, left the city and sat down. Notice the Bible said, look what he said, verse 5. So Jonah went out of the city and sat. Did you know two times you're going to read that word sat in verse number 5? In a fit of anger, he just goes out of the city, plops down on a hillside and sat. He lost his purpose. He's no longer preaching. He's no longer praying. He's no longer serving God with his life. No, two times he's going to say, God, it's better for me to die than it is to live. Can you imagine that? Here's a man of God sitting on the sidelines wishing to die rather than let God use him. Isn't that sad? He didn't care about what God wanted. He didn't care about what Nineveh needed. He only cared what was best for him, what he wanted, which was for the city of Nineveh to face the judgment of God. And when he didn't get his way, he sat. Jonah didn't care if the world went to hell as long as he got his way. How many Christians have gotten upset because something didn't go their way in a church? And they went out of the city and sat. They got upset over the color of the carpet. They got upset over the theme of the VBS. They got upset over a vote that didn't go their way or a decision that didn't go their way. And they go out of the city and so to speak, and they hit that church pew and they just fume and they sit. I'm going to show you all. And they sat. And they let bitterness control them and anger control them. And they just sit. They're on the sidelines. By the way, Satan will sideline you or sideline me with anger. Refuse to serve God because it didn't go their way. They quit on God. Their mates that quit on their marriage. Their children that quit on their family. Christians that quit on their church. When you do that, you lost your purpose. You're no longer honoring God. You're no longer building your life. You're no longer reaching others. I'm sad to say that there are Christians who could care less if the world goes to hell as long as they get their way. You say, preacher, that's tough preaching. No, that's true preaching. It's just true. I don't want to be in that number, do you? Amen. I don't want to be in that number. Let me give you one last thing. Are you ready? Anger will cost us. It'll destroy our peace. It'll divide our partnerships. It'll divert our purpose. It'll distort our perspective. Look at verse 6. And the Lord God prepared a gourd, this leafy plant, and made it to come up over Jonah, that it might be a shadow, a shade over his head to deliver him from his grief, his misery. So Jonah was exceeding glad of the gourd. But God prepared a worm. We read about the worm. It strikes the plant and cuts it off at the root. It withers. Just as quickly as it lived, it died. The shade was gone. Jonah's mad again, verse 8. Came to pass that when the sun did rise, that God prepared a vehement east wind and sun beat upon Jonah, and he fainted and wished himself to die. It's better for me to die than to live. I thought about that. Jonah was exceeding glad for the gourd as long as the gourd was there. But then when it was gone, the worm, the wind, Jonah became so self-absorbed, he became angry all over again, and he was ready to die. Jonah lost his perspective. He misplaced his priorities. He didn't see things the way God saw them. Anger has a way of distorting our vision. I want you to hang with me here for a moment. It causes us to lose our perspective. Someone observed this, and that you can shut out the light of the sun with a penny if you hold it close enough to your eye. Did you know that? Jonah was holding this anger so close to his eye that he couldn't see what God wanted to do with his life and what God wanted to do with the people of Nineveh. He was blinded to the purposes of God. It distorted his perspective. He got angry over one thing, so much so that he was frustrated with everything. He was mad at everything. He was mad at the plant. He was mad at the worm. He was mad at the wind. He was mad at God. He was mad at the world. You ever known somebody that's just mad at the world? Amazing. Jonah was more concerned about a plant than he was people. More concerned about shade than he was souls. One thing blinded Jonah to what was good and right and pleasing and joyful. He, to the point he couldn't rejoice in anything. He was mad at everything. Can I give you a verse that young people ought to help you? Are you ready? Proverbs 22 verses 24 and 25. You ought to jot it down. Make no friendship with an angry man. And with a furious man thou shalt not go, lest thou learn his ways and get a snare to thy soul. Anger has a way of rubbing off on us. You hang around angry people, you'll become an angry person. You know, there's Christians, they're just like Jonah. One thing makes them mad, whether it's at church or at home or whatever. They get so upset with everything, they can't see anything good. They're Christians right now. They're so mad over one little thing in their church, they can't see anything good in their church. They can't see what God's doing. They can't see anything because they're mad at one thing. Or they can't see anything good. They become mad at every little thing. Nothing. They're just mad at the world. You know what? Their spouses tonight. Don't you listen to me? Their spouses tonight. If we're not careful, we'll get mad at one little thing and it'll blind us to all the good things in our marriages. We'll get upset over one little thing and we fail to see the good and the joyful things that's in our relationship. Young people, you listen to your pastor tonight. There's young people that you get mad at your parents because something didn't go your way. Or they didn't let you do something you wanted to do and you're mad. You didn't get to go with your friends or you didn't get to do this or that didn't go your way and you're upset. You're furious. You're burning mad at your parents. And you know what I found? When you get mad at that one little thing, like the penny that blocks out the light of the sun, you can't see one good thing about your mom and dad. You can't see one good thing about your family. You can't see one good thing about your brother or sister or whatever else is going on because you're so mad at that little thing that you can't see any good thing. And you're mad at the world. And I'm here to tell you, it'll cost you more than you ever want to pay. It'll rob you of some of the best years of your life. You're not going to have mom and dad forever. You're not going to have them forever. And there'll come a day, you'll regret the anger and the bitterness and the mistreatment that you've given to your parents. Because you got mad at that one little thing and you didn't get your way. And it'll cost you. If you'll listen to the preacher, listen, I'm going to tell you, there's wonderful things that happen in families. There's times that we get sideways with each other. Isn't that true? But don't let that one little thing blind us to all the good things in life's relationships. Don't let your anger cost you. When you allow or I allow the seed of anger to germinate in our hearts, it's always going to yield its bitter fruit. It is. Oh, the danger of anger in our lives. Do you know there's some people that for over something, they got angry at God and now they don't want anything to do with the Lord. Don't want anything to do with the Lord. It blinds them to the goodness of God. They mistake something. Can I tell you that everything that goes wrong in our lives, God didn't cause that? He didn't. Part of that's just living life. As long as we live in a fallen world, bad things will happen to what we would say good people. It just does. It's not God's fault. That's living in a fallen world that's broken by sin. And it's not going to be fixed till Jesus comes. But you know what? I'm glad that God can work in the midst of our broken world and work in the midst of our lives. And don't lose sight of the goodness of God and the greatness of God and the blessing of God. Don't lose sight of that. Don't. Aren't you glad God loves us tonight? I want to draw your attention to one thing. I'm going to close the service tonight. I want you to look back, if you would, verse number 2. We're going to come to this in the next message, all right? And I want you to see it. Here, you talked about how that Jonah's mad at one thing, what God did in Nineveh, that it blocked out everything. Look at verse 2. He said, middle part of it, he said, was not this my saying when I was yet in my country? Therefore I fled before into Tarshish, for I knew. Did you see that? That thou art a gracious God and merciful, slow to anger, and of great kindness, and repentest thee of evil. That means when there was a change of relationship, the Ninevites changed their attitude toward God. God changed toward them. Did you see that? Now notice something. I want you to look at two little words. I want you to underline them in your Bible. I knew. Did you notice that's past tense? He didn't say, I know. He had lost sight of who and what God was in his life. I knew. Not I know. And there are Christians. You're living in the past tense because of anger, rather than the present tense of God's blessing. Isn't that sad? Aren't you glad that God's gracious and merciful and slow to anger and of great kindness tonight? That's who my God is tonight. Can I tell you, God loved you and me so much He gave His only begotten Son. That's the Lord Jesus. You ever question the love of God? Just look at Calvary, where Jesus went to the cross and bled and died for your sins and my sins. Rose again 3 days later. Can you imagine? Can you imagine all the sin that was laid on Jesus? All every curse word I ever told or said, every lie I've ever told, every wicked deed I've ever done, every time I ever took God's name in vain before I came to Him, every one of those sins, God laid them upon His Son, and Jesus paid for every one of them. Isn't that amazing? And He did it for you too. He died for your sins, was buried, and 3 days later He rose again from the dead. And you know what the good news is? He said, whosoever will, let him come. Do you know, friend, tonight that if you're not saved, you can be? Just like the Ninevites who weren't right with God and got right with God, there was a time in my life and there was a time in every person's in this room's life that's now saved when they were unsaved. That every person's in this room that's now right with God, there was a time they weren't right with God. And God loved us enough that when we came to Him and we believed on His Son, received Him as Savior, that He forgave our sins, changed our destiny. No longer on my way to hell. I'm on my way to heaven. Isn't that a blessing? Friend, what God's done for so many of us, He can do for you. My favorite verse in all of the Bible, and I close, for God so loved the world, that's you and me, that He gave His only begotten Son, that's the Lord Jesus, die for our sins, rise again, that whosoever believeth in Him, didn't say do better, didn't say join a church, didn't say straighten up their life. You say, preacher, but you don't know who I am or what I've done. Here, can I help us understand something? We can't straighten up our lives. I couldn't tell you how many times I quit trying to take God's name in vain and quit trying to cuss and do the wicked things I tried to. You know how many times I said, oh God, I'm so sorry, I'm going to quit doing that, only to start right back. I can't change me and you can't change you, but He sure can.
Amen.
Whosoever believeth in Him, just simply by faith, receive Him as Savior, should not perish, spend eternity in a place called hell, but have everlasting life. Aren't you glad that Jesus gives life? Amen. Satan's a great life taker. Jesus is a great life giver. And He wants to give you life tonight. He wants to forgive your sins. He wants to save you. And Christian, if you're filled with anger tonight, you're upset at an area of life, young person, maybe mad at mom and dad, oh, there's mercy and grace to come to Him and get those things right with Him. Isn't that a blessing tonight? Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Nobody's looking around for just a moment.